right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you would, please grab your hymnals and turn to song number 45, When I Can Read My Title Clear. Song number 45. On the first,
when I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes, and wipe my weeping eyes. I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes.
On the second,
should earth against my soul engage and fiery darts be hurled, then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world, and face a frowning world, and face a frowning world. Then I can smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world.
On the third,
let cares like a wild deluge come and storms of sorrow fall. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all. My God, my heaven, my all. My God, my heaven, my all. May I but safely reach my home, my God, my heaven, my all.
On the last,
there shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest, and not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast, across my peaceful breast, across my peaceful breast. And not a wave of trouble roll across my peaceful breast.
All right. At this time, we'll have Pastor come up, and he will read us the announcements.
All right. Well, good evening. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you still have a bulletin from last Sunday, if you open it up on the inside left, you'll see where it says weekly church service times. We've got Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings are at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath that is a list of soul winning times. If you have any questions, 208-391-5323 is the number to call. Next page under announcements, this Sunday evening will be in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Soul winning training class, Saturday, April 13th, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's going to be part two, so I'm looking forward to that. Let's see, Pastor Appreciation Weekend is Sunday, April 28th. So that's not for you guys to get me stuff, it's for me to give you guys stuff, okay? So don't get it backwards, okay? That's how it works. And I've got some crackers and stuff that you guys will like, so you'll be fine. I'm just kidding. We'll at least have nachos or something. We'll get it figured out. All right. Next men's leadership class will be May 10th, 7 o'clock, which is a Friday. And all these, I do believe, are also on the app. So if you forget, just check there. Birthdays and anniversaries for April. And today is April 10th. Happy birthday yesterday. Sorry about that. Right over the head here. You got to be here for a couple years, and then it starts to sink in. But that's all right. Next year, you got to sing. So that's how we do it here. All right, on the 22nd is Marilisa's birthday, mine's on the 24th, and Isaiah, the son of Amoz, is on the 27th. Verse of the week is Judges 4:23, which said, So God subdued on that day Jabin, king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. It's been a long day. All right, we are a family-integrated church. We don't separate children from their parents for any reasons. Dad, you can use this room to your left. Moms, you're going to walk out this door, go to your left. Go down the hallway, and your room should be all set up with a monitor ready to go. Don't forget to turn your phones off, place them on silent so they're not a distraction. And last but not least, on this red desk, we've got these communication cards. If you got a prayer request, write it down on the back. Mark whether it's public or private. I might have to read it 1,000 times, but Eventually, it'll make its way on the prayer list. And with that being said, if you didn't get one of these prayer lists last week, just raise your hand. We'll make sure Caden sprints you one out and a pen. But if you have a pen, we have a couple of things to add to that prayer list. And so again, the whole point of writing these things down is to remember them throughout the week. And so for expecting mothers, hopefully everybody has Miss Sydney and Miss Joanna. And we are going to add Brother Skulk's work season. So every year about this time, he gets very busy at work. And so we like to pray for his safety, that he doesn't get scorched too bad. And obviously, his prosperity. Also, Miss Laura's grandparents. A tree fell on their trailer, and they're okay, which is going to be the praise for today. But we want to pray that the insurance, despite the odds, would be able to cover their expenses for that. And let's see here. We also, I think that is it. If anybody's got something or I forgot, just write it down again or just say, hey, I wrote it down like five times and you missed it. Eventually, it will sink in, I promise. So, again, just a quick recap. So for expecting mothers, we're going to have Miss Sydney, Miss Joanna. Skulk's work season for safety. Miss Laura's grandparents for the insurance to cover their costs from damages of the tree that fell in their living quarters. So with that being said, I think everything else here should be up to date. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for these things. Thank you so much, Lord, for this church, for your provision, for everything that you've given us, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to bless us with opportunities to preach to our family, friends, and coworkers. We want to pray for the health and safety as well of our church families, Lord, and that our young children and teens would continue to grow in maturity and wisdom. And we want to also pray for the spiritual needs of our communities, Lord. Just pray that you would bless our soul winning efforts, lead us to those that are receptive, Lord. And we just want to pray that more people would desire to grow and become discipled in your word. And we want to pray for like-minded churches to grow and to continue to be protected from those that wish us all evil. And we want to continue to pray for wickedness in our government, Lord, to be exposed and eradicated, as well as the media side as well, Lord, that the wicked people that run that sector would be exposed and tried accordingly. We want to pray for our upcoming soul winning events, Lord, the soul winning training, as well as next month's everyday soul winning challenge, and as well as the 12-hour soul winning marathon that we're going to do. We want to also pray for our expecting mothers, Miss Sydney and Miss Joanna. Just pray for a safe, healthy pregnancy for them and comfort for their families. And we want to pray for Brother Skulk's work season, for his safety, Lord, and thank you for him. We want to pray also for Miss Laura's grandparents that the insurance would cover the cost of the damages to their home. And we also have some online requests as well. We have Miss Leslie Burzins and Miss Joanne Jimenez, Lord. We want to pray for their health to continue to improve. We want to pray for Pastor Burzins' church plant in South Carolina, Lord. Just pray that you would work with them, then everything would go according to your timing. I want to pray for Brother the Maples family, for the health and prosperity, as well as Miss Michelle Arrowwood for her health. And we also have one for Miss Tara out of Ohio. Lord, we just pray that her father, which fell today, would be healed, and just that you'd comfort him and help her to be able to take care of him. And we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So that is one that I just wrote down. I did forget on the back here under online requests. We have a listener from Ohio. Her name is Tara. She's been a listener for a long time. Her dad fell and hit his head. And so we don't know the extent of those damages, but we want to be in prayer for that as well. And, of course, we got a couple of praises. Number one, that Laura's grandparents didn't get hurt when their home was attacked. And also, Brother Skulk's mom is now able to walk on that leg that she broke. So praise God for that. And so with that being said, we're going to go ahead and leave that there. And see if we have any updates next week. We'll go ahead and have one more song, and then we'll have the Bible reading.
All right, everyone. Please grab your hymnals one more time and turn to song number 40. No Disappointment in Heaven, song number 40.
On the first, there's no disappointment in heaven, no weariness, sorrow, or pain, no hearts that are bleeding and broken, no song with a minor refrain. The clouds of our earthly horizon will never appear in the sky, for all the sunshine and gladness with never a sob nor a sigh. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold.
On the second,
we'll never pay rent for our mansion, the taxes will never come due, our garments will never grow threadbare, but all will be fadeless and new. We'll never be hungry nor thirsty, nor anguish in poverty there, for all the rich bounties of heaven his sanctified children will share. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold.
On the last,
there'll never be crape on the doorknob, no funeral train in the sky, no graves on the hillsides of glory, for there we shall never more die. The old will be young there forever, transformed in a moment of time. Immortal will stand in his likeness, the stars and the sun to outshine. I'm bound for that beautiful city my Lord has prepared for his own, where all the redeemed of all ages sing glory around the white throne. Sometimes I grow homesick for heaven and the glories I there shall behold. What a joy that will be when my Savior I see in that beautiful city of gold.
All right, everyone. At this time, we'll have the Bible reader come up, and they will read us the chapter.
Good evening, everyone. If you would, please open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter number 2. Jonah chapter number 2, beginning in verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainteth within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Brother Evan, would you please pray for us?
All right, amen. Well, we're in Jonah chapter 2 this evening. Last week, we talked about a quick breakdown with these chapters. Last week, we said chapter 1 shows us that Jonah is running away from God. Chapter 2 shows us that Jonah is running to God. Now, I titled this sermon, Out of the Belly of Hell, and I got that from verse number 2 here. And so what this is about here, obviously, it's about Jonah's prayer while he's in the belly of the whale. But you have to look at it in the language for what it's really trying to tell us. It's trying to picture something for us to understand. Now, this story is just so far out of the norm for typical things that happen, even in the Bible. It's like you read from Genesis. Obviously, you see miracles and a lot of, you know, crazy wars and, you know, different things that take place. But this definitely is something that is super set apart from anything else in the Bible up until this point here. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? What is that picture? And so for as hard as this is to believe for a lot of people, okay, and obviously if you're saved, you just take the word of God and you believe this. But as hard as that is, as far out of the norm that is, it really is the same application that you're going to find when you read Acts chapter 2 or you read Psalm chapter 16 about Jesus dying and going to hell. And so that is really what this sermon is about. Where did Jesus spend 3 days and three nights? And how does this story point to that? And why the significance here? What's the importance? So let's start off here looking at the first three verses, okay, just for context. So verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Of course, you know, if anybody were to be swallowed by a fish, that's definitely something you would be doing very rapidly. Verse number 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction. So again, this kind of points back to last week where we demonstrated different principles in ways that God tries to get our attention. And the reason he wants to get our attention, he wants a change. He wants an about face. He wants to get something right. He wants that fellowship with us restored. Again, not to keep salvation or to earn it, but to restore that fellowship and that relationship. That's what he's after. Okay. Verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Again, a demonstration there of the mercy of God. Jonah here is crying from the fish's belly. God hears his voice. Verse 3, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Definitely not. The thing I want you to just get in your mind right now is this is not paradise. This is not pleasant. This is not a good thing that he is experienced. This is terrifying here, okay? Now, obviously, the whole situation is good because it's God getting Jonah's attention and basically bringing him to do the mission that he'd called him to do in the first place. Now, keep your place there because we're going to go over these from a different angle in just a minute. But go to Matthew chapter number 12. Matthew chapter number 12. Now, you go look at a lot of YouTube videos, just do any basic reading, just go to the internet, type in, where did Jesus spend 3 days and three nights? You know, aside from the obvious part, the tomb, what you're going to find are all sorts of lies, misinformation. And I think it's very, very important that we all understand those lies and that misinformation, because it's all an attack on the Word of God. And we know that if you attack the Word of God, you're attacking Jesus Christ himself. You cannot separate the two. To attack the Bible, to attack preservation, is to directly attack Jesus Christ. There is no debate. There is no, no, that's not true. Original manuscripts. No, if you attack the Bible, you're attacking Christ, because he is the Word of God. So while you're there waiting in Matthew chapter number 12, I've got a quick paragraph I'd like to read you guys from gotquestions.org. And let me just say this. If you ever have questions, gotquestions.org ain't the place to go, okay? Unless you want to know the untruth, the falsehoods. So let me read this for you guys and let me know what you think. So the question is, did Jesus go to hell like the King James Bible says? Okay, see how that goes? So it says this: some of the confusion has arisen from such passages as Psalm 16, verses 10 through 11, as translated in the King James Version. See that? Notice that? Think about that, okay? Don't let things like this slip. And they quote it: For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And then it goes on to say this: hell is not a correct translation in this verse. Now, to be perfectly honest here, whoever wrote this here, that individual had best be absolutely fluent in Hebrew and definitely Greek. Or there's one more option that we'll accept. Yeah, actually, I'm not going to accept the first one, but at a minimum, you ought to at least be able to fluently speak the language if you're going to correct the Bible, okay? The other one is that he went up to heaven and saw the settled record, the original manuscript, which is up there, and actually got a snapshot of it with his memory and came back down and said, okay, this is wrong. We need to change this. I didn't get any of those from reading this paragraph here. So he says, hell is not a correct translation in this verse because I'm a Catholic pope and you need to come to man. Oh, wait, sorry. That's just my injection there. Let me read this the way it's actually written. Hell is not a correct translation in this verse. A correct reading would be the grave or Sheol, okay? Which the word Sheol apparently is Hebrew for the place of the dead or hell. But what do I know? Jesus said to the thief beside him, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. He did not say, I will see you in hell. Okay. So ignorant. We're going to break all this down. I'll give you the answers to all of this stuff, and this will never be a problem for anybody here. It goes on to say, Jesus' body was in the tomb. His soul / spirit went to be with the blessed in Sheol / Hades. Okay? So they don't like the English word hell, so they got to change it. So they say, well, that should say grave or should say Sheol. Okay, grave doesn't really fit because it was a tomb. So we want to use Sheol. Okay, well, the unfortunate thing is if you speak to somebody who actually knows Hebrew and is honest, they'll say, well, that means hell. And they say, well, we can't have hell, whether it's in English or Hebrew. So then they inject this other doctrine called Abraham's bosom, okay, which is basically the teaching that in the Old Testament, hell or Sheol or whatever it was, Hades, was two compartments. So you all the bad guys on one side and all the good guys on the other. And then after Jesus died on the cross, he went down there. And depending on who you get this doctrine from, he either just scooped all the good people up, the people that were saved, and brought them to heaven. Or he went over to the dark side and gave them a second chance and then went and scooped everybody up and went to heaven. So hopefully that doesn't make sense, because that's what they teach and that's what they believe. Okay? He goes on to say, unfortunately, in many versions of the Bible, translators are not consistent or correct in how they translate the Hebrew and Greek words for Sheol, Hades, and hell. Wow, this guy's really somebody special, you know? Apparently, we all ought to just give up what we're doing here and go to his church. But the only problem is I couldn't find what church he goes to. Very interesting. So anyways, that's the kind of crap you have to deal with. And these are the kind of people that say, well, no, Jonah chapter 2 is really just, you know, it does kind of point to Jesus, but it's just, you know, the sorrow on the cross, and that's really it. Okay? Well, there's a problem with that. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse number 40. The Bible says this. This is Jesus speaking here. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. In the heart of the earth. Where was Jesus' body? Where was it buried? In the tomb. Was that tomb underground? Okay, Eve, I'll play your game. Let's say it was. Let's say it was 6 feet under. Okay, is 6 feet under the heart of the earth? And I'm not saying it is. Obviously, it's a tomb that had a big giant stone that had to be rolled away. You know, people walked into it. It's not like they dug a tunnel to get into it. Okay, let's be honest here. Okay, the tomb was above ground. So that's not the heart of the earth. Okay, but some scholars, not all of them, but some and some pastors, they'll say, well, that tomb was in the shape of a heart. So if you really understand how that stone was rolled away, it was like the plug of the heart. And then, you know, it bled out mercy. It's like, yeah, that's cool if you want to be a cartoonist or a poet or something like that. That's not biblical. Look, just because something sounds cute and sounds, you know, somewhat good doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Okay, a tomb is a tomb and a heart is a heart. The heart of the earth is in the center of the earth. Everybody knows that, even these clowns that write this garbage. Like I just read you. So Jesus stating here that the story, the entire story of Jonah, okay, he endorsed it. He's literally telling us that that literally happened. Jonah was swallowed by a whale. And so what does that mean for us? Go to Acts chapter number 2. Well, that means if Jonah went to the belly of the whale, then Jesus went to the heart of the earth. Okay, and the heart of the earth is hell. That's what that means. If Jonah went to the belly of the whale, which he did, Jesus confirms that, Jonah confirms that, then that means Jesus went to the heart of the earth. You cannot separate these two stories. You cannot say, well, yeah, Jonah went to the heart of the whale, went to the whale's belly, but Jesus just went to the tomb and then, you know, his soul just went down real quick to scoop everybody up and, you know, and that's that. This chapter here and the way it's written and the things that we're going to point out of it really wouldn't make as much sense if that were the case. I think it would be written much differently, okay? So let's take a look at a couple of things here. You're in Acts chapter number 2. Let's go ahead and look at verse number 22. So Peter preaching here, and he says this, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Okay, I wanted to start here so that we're all clear on who we're speaking about here. Okay, Peter is preaching about Jesus Christ. Verse 23, "Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Okay? Now look at verse 24. "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed," present tense. So while he was dead, present tense, okay, look at this, "having loosed the pains of death," ongoing pains of death. Okay? So obviously, you know, what the way the official narrative in professing Christianity is, they say, okay, well, it was agonizing on the cross, but the moment he died, it was over. You know, pain-free, went down to Sheol, went down to Hades, went down to Abraham's bosom, gathered everybody up, and that was paradise at that point in time, and then relocated paradise up into heaven. Okay? And we've done studies on that before. We'll do it again maybe in a year, but that is false doctrine. It is not true. Okay, look at the way that this reads. Okay, "whom God hath raised up." So God raised him up, "having loosed the pains," the ongoing present tense pains of death. Here's why. "Because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Now that's very similar to the story that we just read in Jonah chapter number 2. And you're going to see the language in there. Jonah uses the word bars and just the waves covering and just the darkness and the blackness. And that he's held in there and he needs God to deliver him. Okay, same language, same principles right here in Acts chapter 2 about Jesus. Now look at verse number 25. "For David speaketh concerning him." So again, going back to the Old Testament to confirm a New Testament truth. Okay? "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved." Verse 26.
Therefore, so for that reason, because Jesus has a fixed position, obviously, within the Trinity, within heaven, you know, it says, therefore, so because of that, because of his position and who he is, therefore did my heart rejoice. Why did his heart rejoice? What's the point? Okay, notice this. And my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Verse 27, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. Doesn't say grave, tomb, Sheol, Hades, anything like that. We speak English here. Hell is an English word. Because thou will not leave my soul. Where is his soul at this moment in time that Peter is speaking of? It is in hell. It is in a place called hell, which is the heart of the earth. Okay? Because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So I want you to see those two things there. That verse speaks of the soul, which is in hell, but it also speaks about his flesh not seeing corruption. Okay? You notice those two things right there. They're very important for you to see, very important for you to understand. Okay? Look at verse 26 again. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and look at this, and my tongue was glad. Now let me ask you a question. When the body dies and goes into the ground, goes into the grave, okay, does our tongue work any longer? Does our heart beat anymore? No, those are physically stopped, okay? But look at the verse again. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Now look at after that semicolon there. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. So the flesh is resting and the soul, okay, which contains the heart and the tongue that is glad is in another place. Where is that place? Well, verse 27 is very clear. It is hell. And because he knows that hell cannot hold him, that God will deliver him, that is why his flesh is able to rest in hope. So again, in verse 27, he says, but thou will not leave my soul. Number one, okay, soul, spiritual there. Neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Okay, I just want you to think about those two things. Okay, that division there that took place. Now go to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. So when Jesus was buried in the tomb, okay, the Bible tells us that his soul went to hell. Peter preached it. It's in Acts chapter 2. David confirmed that. David had preached that as well. Psalm chapter 16. We're not going to take the time to go there today. But I just want to show you something here, okay? Because the teaching is, like, well, you know, and even some people say, well, and I've heard this before, and this is kind of one of the more obscure positions, but some people say, well, he didn't go to either one. It was all metaphorical. So he just laid in the tomb, and that was it. He was just resting in the tomb, and then God woke him up from his nap. It's bizarre. Let's just believe the Bible, okay? If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to say you're saved, and then just believe what's written here, okay? It's not that hard. It shouldn't be that difficult. Oh, but it is. Luke 16, verse 22. You already know the story here, okay? This is the story about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had everything he wanted on this earth. And of course, Lazarus was plagued and had sores and begged of food and things like this. But there's a very, very important difference between the two. Lazarus being poor was saved, and the rich man being rich was not saved, and not because of money, but because he just decided that he was too good and never called upon the name of the Lord. Therefore, when he died, he went to hell. So let's look at the story here, because it's going to highlight a few very important things to understand Acts 2. Look at this here in verse 22. So Jesus says this here, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Okay? Now, let me just say this. Abraham in the Bible, okay? Abraham is a person, not a place. Nineveh is a place. Jerusalem is a place. Okay? Abraham is a person, not a place. Bosom is a body part, not a chamber. Okay, Abraham is a person, not a place. Bosom is a body part, not a chamber. One more time, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So into his side to meet Father Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. Look at this in verse 23. And in hell. Hey, now in hell. Now, which hell is this, Mr. Got questions? Is this the paradise, the Sheol, the Hades, the combo? Which one is it? The grave? Oh, no, right here, this is actual flame. Oh, so the King James translators got it right one time. And you're smarter than them. Okay, I got you, pal. You hypocrite, you devil. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham. Notice this, Abraham, the person, not the place. Because there is no place called Abraham, and there might be a town called Abraham or something, whatever. You guys understand, that's not what I'm talking about. In the Bible, this right here, what's going on? In context, this is Abraham, the same Abraham that you read about in Genesis chapters 12 and on, okay? So, and in hell, he, the rich man, lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, okay? In his bosom, in this area, meeting Abraham. So he's witnessing what he missed out on. Because if you know the story, the rich man's like, I don't got time for you, okay? I don't have time for you. I don't got time for God. I'm just concerned with building and maintaining my wealth because that's how I become and maintain or being a real man and whatnot. Verse 24, and he, the rich man, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, look at the audacity of this guy, okay? In hell, look at what he says here. Father Abraham, the person, not the place. Okay? Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Ooh, what does that mean? And cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Interesting. Rich man died and was buried. So his body don't work no more. That tongue in his mouth, if you were to go there and pull it up and put some kind of food he doesn't like on it, he's not going to be like, oh, this is gross. Okay? You could light it on fire. He's not going to move. He's dead. Soul gone. Soul went to hell. Okay? But look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Again, this is an example of the pains of death that we just looked at in Acts chapter number 2. So go back there and let's read those two verses again so we can make this connection here. Okay, so we see this rich man, he's gone from his body, but he could sure see, he could sure hear, he can still, you know, experience pain in his mouth, dehydration to levels that none of us can even fathom, okay? And he begs Abraham to send Lazarus to cool his tongue because he's tormented. Very interesting. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 26. Therefore, okay, and this is obviously about Christ, therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Why was his tongue glad? Because he went to hell and experienced this pain that you just read about in Luke chapter 16. That's why. So when he's reminded of the scripture and he looks toward the holy temple, just like Jonah did in the belly of the whale, okay, he realizes this is temporary. Pain is temporary and his glory is forever. Okay. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also shall my flesh rest in hope, which corresponds to the very next verse, 27, one more time, because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. It is crystal clear here what is going on when you believe the Bible and read it for what it is, okay? Aren't you glad that we're not Catholic? Aren't you glad that you don't come to a church where the pastor's like, hey, you need me to understand the Bible. You need me, otherwise you can't understand this because you can't tell what's translated correctly and what is translated correctly. Thank God you got me my thesaurus, my Greek lexicon. Yeah, that's ridiculous. But that's what people want today. That trash, that garbage style preaching that does nothing for God. All that kind of crap does is cast doubt and send people to hell. That's what it does. And that's why every single person in here should be mad and furious when you hear these things. You should be upset. I want your blood to boil when you hear stuff like this. Anytime somebody starts to attack the Word of God like these clowns do, you should have this just this boiling feeling. And I'm not saying you should attack anybody physically, okay? The laws prevent that and it's not good. But you should be ready, willing, and able to defend the truth wherever you find yourself under these types of attack. Now go back to Jonah chapter number 2. So hopefully you can see that dichotomy there in those two verses, Acts chapter 2, verse 26, 27. It goes from the soul to the flesh, soul to the flesh. And you see a perfect example of that in Luke chapter 16. Rich man buried, okay, flesh in the ground. His physical senses are done for, but yet his soul can still be in torment in his tongue. But, you know, this rich guy in Luke 16, he doesn't get the pains of death loosed. He's there right now. Right now, as we're reading about him burning in hell, he's still there, still roasting, still probably looking over at people coming into Abraham's comfort and meeting him, being like, can that guy get me some water? You know, can that guy get me some water? And he's like, I told you already. No, of course, that's just my commentary. Let's move on here. Let's go back to Jonah. And let's look at the language here, okay? So let's just start again in verse number 1. Very, very, very short chapter. Let's go through this again, okay? So remember, in context here, initially the first thing that we all get, we all understand, is that this is Jonah's prayer. But it symbolizes, it pictures, it points us to something, okay? It points us to the truth that if Jonah went to the belly of the whale, then Jesus went to the heart of the earth. You cannot extract one from the other. Verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And of course, Jesus endorsing this account here, what does he do? He gives us insight and says, whale. So then we can say, okay, now we've got, you know, a bigger part of the story here. Verse number 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. So again, why didn't he say just out of the belly of the fish? Okay, if this word hell here wasn't of significance. Again, let's go ask, you know, Captain Got Questions. Hey, hero, you know, which hell's this one? Is this grave? Should we go and, you know, petition God to discipline Jonah right now because he wrote it like this? Or whoever wrote it like this? I think you know the answer. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Verse 3, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Look at verse number 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Again, write down next to that, if you don't mind writing in your Bible, Acts chapter 2, verses 24 through 27. Okay? Because that's exactly fulfilled when Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. You get to see that connection and that parallel there. Okay? So Jonah, okay, the guy who was running from God last week when you read chapter number 1, he all of a sudden is like, okay, I'm on a run with God. And, you know, despite the fact that God did this to me, he's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not, you know, like, okay, well, I guess God hates me. I'm just going to die here in the fish. No. Okay, he's like, no, you know what? I'm going to look towards that holy temple because I know I'm a prophet of God and I know that God is doing this to teach me a lesson. So that's the application for Jonah. But obviously the picture is far greater. The picture tells us the depths and shows us the depths that God went to for his creation and for those that would call upon him to be saved. Verse 5, the waters compassed me about, look at this, even to the soul. Oh, but the modern Bible, you know, Greek teacher with, you know, skinny jeans and the holes in his pants. Wow, that's just because it was he really felt this in his soul when he was in the fish's belly. Yeah, you think? You think, pal? Even to the soul, the depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth. Now look at this. Look at how this is written here. With her bars was about me. Now look at this. Don't miss these next three words. So you get these bars. Me forever. Wait a second. I thought Jonah was only there for 3 days and 3 nights. Why is this written and preserved like this? I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. Interesting. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Okay, well, that sounds a lot like hell to me, because when people go down there, ordinary people, okay, guess what? They're not stronger than hell. And those bars, because obviously that's the way that God had established it, hold people forever. There's no getting out. There's no like, oh, it's 6 o'clock right now in hell. No, it's eternal. It's just ongoing. Okay, it's hard for us to wrap our finite minds around that. We'll talk about that again in a minute. So with her bars was about me forever. And they'll say, well, this should be translated. It felt like an eternity in there. It's not what it says, idiot. Okay, get the picture. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. What does that mean? Why put that in there? Okay. Oh, well, because he could have decayed with a stomach acid. And no, it's to demonstrate to us, hey, God is the author here. This was written how many thousands of years before Acts chapter 2 was written down? Okay, think about this. God is trying to help us make these connections here. Okay, and this is, O Lord my God, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, here it is again, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. And of course, this is obviously application for us as well, that when we're in distress and we cry out to God, okay, our prayers go up before him as a sweet odor, and he hears us. Okay, as long as they're not, you know, prayers that are amiss, like James talked about. Now, let's look at verse number 8 and then ask ourselves, why is this written this way? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Well, that's interesting. So while Jonah's in the whale's belly, he's like, you know what? A lot of people actually forsake their own mercy, the mercy that God has given them. Okay, well, it's just establishing a truth here. Obviously, this is true for the Christian. You know, when we get wrapped up in the things of the world, you know, we forsake God's mercy because God's trying to bring us back and get us going in the right direction, okay? But we're sitting here quenching the spirit. We're forsaking God's mercy. Obviously, we're not going to lose our salvation, but that's what observing lying vanities or empty things of the world is going to get you. It's going to get you this feeling like Jonah's feeling right now, trapped, helpless, just no hope, nowhere to go, okay? And when we find ourselves in those positions, what do? We look up towards that holy temple and we cry out to God and we get his help. But look at this from a worldly perspective, okay? Look at this from our perspective in looking out at the world, okay? Why don't many people get saved? Well, it's because from their youth, they observe and adopt lying vanities and they never let go of them. And they grow stronger and they grow stronger and stronger and they eventually overpower and overtake a person's heart and mind to the point to where they will not look for the truth. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. And here it is. Salvation is of the Lord. Hey, here's an Old Testament verse that says salvation is of the Lord, right? Because what do some people say? Well, in the Old Testament, salvation, yeah, okay, was of God, but you had to do the sacrifices. You had to make sure you did all these offerings and you had to turn from your sins too. Just like, you know, in the tribulation period, right? Those things are coming back because the Jew's going to be around and, oh, we got to worship the Jew. No, that's ridiculous. Salvation has always been of the Lord. Jonah just confirming that. Verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land, which we know is the earth. So, go to 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. So that does it for Jonah too. But I did want to spend a few moments kind of explaining some of the things that MrGotQuestions.org in his heroic wisdom, his popish wisdom taught us. Okay. Now let's start with this one here. Okay. Now these are things you don't want to leave home without. You want to write these down. You want to make sure that you have these somewhere, especially if you go soul winning. It will come up at some point, and it's great to be able to teach people these things. You know, while we're on that note, out soul winning, every time that I'm giving the gospel and I bring up Acts chapter 2 and I teach that to somebody, I don't think I've ever really had, maybe a couple of times. You know, I can't really say, a lot of people just don't argue. They're just like, oh, that's what it says? Okay. You know, I got somebody saved out in CUNA like a year and a half ago. And I was like, do you know where Jesus went, where his soul went when he died? And he's like, yeah, he went to that place that was like a double compartment. I was like, oh no, here we go. He's like, that's what I've heard. But he was open. And I read him and I explained all this stuff. And he was like, oh, wow. Yeah, okay, of course. Yeah, that's what it says. You know what I mean? It's very rare that you find somebody, but yet there's a whole bunch of people, most of professing Christianity today, they believe that this is Abraham's bosom and that he just went to Sheol to preach the gospel to the spirits in prison or whatever. Okay, and I'm going to give you several reasons this evening why that cannot be true. And what is written is actually true. So they're going to go ahead and they're going to quote you right here, 1 Peter 3:19. Let's take a look at it. How do we respond to 1 Peter 3:19, which says this? By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Okay? We're not going to get into verse 20. We'll do that another time. But they'll take you here and say, well, okay. Or they'll say, I don't know where it's written, but the Bible says that he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which we know is hell, and brought them over to paradise and then relocated paradise into heaven. Kind of weird. Why did Elijah go up by whirlwind? Well, because of the flat earth model, he went up this way and then went down that way. Okay, sure. Okay, next to 1 Peter 3:19, write down Isaiah chapter 42. And this is where you want to take people to explain what 1 Peter 3:19 actually means. There's no debating this, no arguing, it's just, this is it. Okay, if we're going to be students of the Bible, if we are going to preach correctly, if we are going to rightly divide the word of truth, this is how you do it in that situation. Isaiah chapter 42. Clearly talking about Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 6. The Bible says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness and will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people. Look at this. For a light of the Gentiles. Okay, look. There's no doubt who this is talking about here. This is talking about Jesus Christ, the Savior. Verse number 7. Okay, 2. So here's why. Okay, here's why. It starts off in verse 7. To open the blind eyes. More so than just the physical. Okay, look at this. To open the blind eyes. To bring out, now here it is, the prisoners from their prison. So why did Jesus come to earth? What is this saying? He's coming for what reason? What purpose? To free the prisoners, to open the eyes of the blind so that they can see the fact that they're locked up, okay? That their only hope in their minds and what their religious teachers teach them is probation, okay? This is an offer of salvation. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. So it's like, okay, if you didn't get it the first time, we'll say it again the second time. Okay, the word prison mentioned twice there. So when people take you to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, say, oh, Jesus, when he died, didn't go to hell, went to paradise, went to Abraham's bosom, which was right next to the bad place, okay? And there was this great wall fixed in between them, and they could kind of see each other. Okay, he went down to get them. And then depending on who you talk to, they'll say, well, and then he went over and gave these people a second chance. I'm going to show you why that's not true, okay? You say, uh-uh, that is not what that means, okay? His ministry was what? To preach the truth to the lost. That's why he came here. That's the mission that we have been given. So every time we go out and preach the gospel to people, we are preaching to the prisoners, the blind prisoners that are locked in a prison house. We are there to shine the light on the door and say, this is the way, the only way that you can get out, okay? So that's what you want to have written down there so that you can properly teach someone what that means. Now, let's go to the next one here. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Now, I'm going to have you keep your place there because we're going to go to chapter 3 here in just a moment. So number one, okay, why do we say that Jesus did not go down to this two-compartment hell place to relocate paradise? Because it's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what it says, okay? When people bring you into 1 Peter 3:19, you take them to Isaiah 42 verses 6 and 7 and you explain that to them, okay? Now, here is another reason why that is not true, why he did not go down there to bring people up to heaven and to preach to the people in hell. Okay? And it's because that would mean that the people in the Old Testament, first of all, this, just think about this logically, it means they would get a second chance. Hey, now, do we get second chances? Like, well, if you're Catholic, you do, and you got a lot of money. All right? You die, you're like, well, I don't think he wasn't baptized by the mother church. Okay? He didn't eat my crackers and wafers, you know, and didn't really come to Mass all the time. So it's probably purgatory. But if you want him out, guess what? All you got to do is write a monthly check for this amount here, and we'll keep praying and praying and praying. And guess what? God will bring him out of purgatory and bring him into heaven. But it costs something. Yeah, that's called making merchandise out of people is what that's called. That's false. That's not true. It's never been true. Okay? But look at what Solomon says here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. Look at verse number 10. So again, keep in mind what they say. Well, he went down there to preach to the spirits in prison, and we know prison's hell. Okay, that's what they say. Here's what Solomon said in the Old Testament, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is, look at this, no work nor device. Here it is. Pay attention to these next two things. Nor knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Okay? So, is this true? Well, yeah, it's the word of God. Okay? So, Solomon says, guess what? You better do whatever you're doing here on earth with all of your might because you don't get a second chance. Okay? You're not going to get the gospel preached to you again. You're not going to get resurrected so you can get a better eval, you know, on your last, you know, eval at your job. No, none of that's going to happen. Okay? There's no knowledge nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. So you wind up in hell. Guess what? All knowledge and wisdom's fulfilled. Okay? If you're like the rich man and you see Lazarus and all the people that are saved afar off, guess what? That teaches you everything you're ever going to know. You messed up, and now you're roasting. Okay? Likewise, you're saved, you go up to heaven, guess what? All knowledge and wisdom's fulfilled. It's right there in front of you. Questions are answered, so on and so forth. Go to Psalm chapter 31. We're getting close to being done. Psalm chapter number 31. Look at verse 17. So, again, these people, what they're saying is that, oh, well, you know, in the Old Testament, because they were, you know, the apple of God's eye, they were the superior race, the Jewish race, they get a second chance. Nope. Sounds like Zionism to me. Smells like a Uncle Rabbi wrote that. Look at verse 17. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed and let them be silent in the grave. Okay? Again, no indication whatsoever of a quote-unquote second chance. Go to Hebrews chapter number 9. So we're going to go to Hebrews 9, then back to Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to have one more spot for you to go, and then we'll be done. Okay? Hebrews chapter 9, very familiar verse. Look at verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says this, and as it is appointed, now look at these next two words, unto men. Okay, does it say men, old men of the New Testament only, of this dispensation, of this age? No. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Look, that's been true since day one to the last day. Okay, that's always been true. That is the truth. All men. There are no second chances. You have one opportunity to get saved, and that is in this life. After that, guess what? Your chances are through. Back to Ecclesiastes. Go to chapter number 3 real quick. And you're going to see that Solomon confirms what the writer of Hebrews here says. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse 20. All go unto, what does that say? One place. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Okay? Those two things can harmonize. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 20. You've got this life, that's it. So what are we supposed to believe? Well, you know, and I've heard preachers say this. I'm telling you, this is out there. They'll say, we don't even know if the rich man stayed in hell. You know, when he saw Abraham and Lazarus, you know, when Jesus came down to paradise and preached the spirits in prison, he might have been one of the guys that jumped over to his side. Run. You want to talk about bad Bible interpretation? Like, there's other words that come to mind. Obviously, I'm not going to say them. That's horrible. That's terrifying. That's disgusting. Okay? That is not true. Go to John chapter 14, and this is the last passage I'm going to have you go to. So then they'll say this, okay? And I'm going to give you two things real quick on this. So again, you got enough ammo to smash that whole prison thing down. You got that. You understand what that means. There's no second chances. 1 Peter 3:19, Isaiah 42. You know, you got them. If they won't receive that, it's time to go. That's it. It's time to go. They're not going to learn. They'll say this. Well, we know that Abraham's bosom was a place called paradise also. And we know that that was in the heart of the earth right next to hell. Because Jesus said to the thief on the cross, the guy who got saved, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Okay? And he didn't say you'll be with me in hell. No, in paradise. Okay? You know, here's the first thing I always say when they bring that up as an objection. I say, what day is it in eternity right now? What day is it? What time is it? Right? Everybody wants to talk about how the sun and the moon, you know, like the Bible says, is, you know, for day and for night and for months and for years and for time. Okay? Well, guess what? Eternity is outside of all that. It's outside of all that. Where did that thief go when he died? Well, Jesus said he'd go up to paradise. Well, what day was that? Well, if you were to go there right now, you'd find out it's the same day. It's the same day. There's no time out there. And the last time I said this, somebody tried to blast me. You know, show me in the Bible where it says there's no time in eternity. Yeah, just go read Revelation and shut your mouth. Okay? I'll save you the email. I'll save you the phone call. Just go read Revelation. It's crystal clear. What day is it in eternity then? Okay? So they say, well, see, he had to have gone down there and paradise had to have been down there. Do you not understand that Jesus is God? And, you know, sometimes when we say that, people say, oh, you're denying the Trinity. I'm not a Trinity denier. Jesus is fully man, fully God. And if he's fully God, he's everywhere and all knowing. Okay? So when they hit you with that, John 14, 8, and there's a lot of places we could go to. We're just going to end it here. Okay, look at verse 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Okay, interesting. Now, I'm not saying that when someone dies, they go see the face of the Father. That comes later, okay? That comes later in time, okay? But, look at verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth works. Okay? So just because Jesus said, today thou will be with me in paradise, you have to understand he's not saying that paradise is down in the heart of the earth right next to hell. That's not a smoking gun. Okay? All that is a confirmation that guess what? He was going to go into paradise. I mean, obviously hell couldn't hold him. God loosed him from the pains of death that he should not be holding of it. Acts chapter number 2. Okay? So when Jesus rose from the dead, spent the time with the disciples on earth, was seen of above 500 men, and then ascended into heaven, guess what? That's the same day as the day he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Okay, but even though Jesus went to hell, guess what? He's everywhere. Okay? He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Where's the Father located? Well, he's in heaven. So if you're in heaven, guess what? You're there with him. Okay? It's not that hard to figure out. But these people want to deceive and control and beat people down and turn people into merchandise and point back to man so that man has an office, so that man has a position. Okay? And we're not going to let them do that. The whole point of Jonah chapter number 2, aside from showing us that now God has gotten his attention and that he is now running toward God, Jonah 2 prophesies and tells us and shows us the depths that God went through for his creation, for those that love him. Every time that I show this to somebody out there, I mean, it's almost like they get hit by a Mack truck. They're like, he did that for us? It's like, why do you think all the offerings in the Old Testament, or a lot of the offerings rather, you know, the burnt offerings, okay? Why do you think that was a thing? And why do you think a lot of times the refuse had to be taken without the camp? That was a picture of what Jesus was going to do for us, okay? That's what this story is confirming. And one more time, if Jonah went to the belly of the whale, then Jesus went to the heart of the earth. You cannot extract one from the other. You cannot separate one from the other because Jonah wrote what Jonah wrote, and Jesus confirmed it all more than one time in the Bible, in the Word of God. So let's stop it right there and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for this teaching, and I just pray you use us, Lord, to be able to comfort people and to preach this truth to others, that they may be comforted and understand the depths that you went through for your creation. I just pray that you bless the fellowship after the service and bring us back safely this weekend. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Everyone, please grab your hymnals one last time this evening and turn to song number 61. Song number 61, We'll Never Say Goodbye. Let's sing that out on the first. We say goodbye in parting with loved ones here below. We always hope to meet again as on our way we go. But oft our hearts are grieving for those we never met. We'll say goodbye in sorrow till we meet at Jesus' feet. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning. Over yonder, we'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there. On second, our children leave the home nest for school or wedding bells, or country's call or mission field may take them far as well. Now wedding bells are happy, and God's way always right, and absent ones will greet them in the city always bright. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there.
On the third, we greet and part with dear ones. We say hello, goodbye. And letters bind our fellowship. We miss them though we try to feel them always near us and follow them with prayer. But parting days are ended when we meet them in the air. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there.
On the last,
oh, happy, glad homecoming with Jesus in the sky. For sometimes he seems far away, though always if we try, we find him near to help us. His spirit dwells within, but only perfect union when we have an enter in. We'll never say goodbye in glory in the morning over yonder. We'll never say goodbye in glory. We'll never say goodbye up there.
All right, everyone, let's bow our heads and dismiss ourselves in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this time we had to hear your word be preached. I ask you please help us to remember these things and apply them to our lives. I also ask you please bless the fellowship after the service and everyone's travels home this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed.